Hey, greetings, everybody. It is Brother Tupos here with Sister Amen. Are you Sister Amen?
Yep, I'm me. I'm Sister Amen.
Greetings to everybody. Hey, we're back after a little bit of a technical glitch. We had to, Sister Amen can explain to you what happened. We had to...
Yeah, all the audios in our edification audio thing, almost every single one of them was replicating itself.
Yep.
I mean, I don't even want to go into the details, but I had to delete them all.
We deleted them all, starting over.
And we're just starting... Yeah. Starting over, and we'll see if we can do it better going forward. And I want, that's what, hey, I just remembered.
What? I knew you would remember.
I was thinking about something. I had to run in the store to get something, and I thought, oh, I want to talk about this. And I just remembered what
God will bring to remembrance everything he wants you to say.
That's exactly right. And I told Brother Tupos, I said, I can't remember what it was. And he said, you'll remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, even if it's tomorrow, but hey, yay, praise God.
I saw the light come on. It popped in your head.
Yeah, I know.
Talk about it right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I am. So
we hope you're all doing well, by the way.
Yeah, I was thinking about those audios that we did and we put up and doing all the work on the website and the blogs, all the work that goes into it before it even gets up there.
Online ministry.
Managing it. Yeah, everything that we do on there. And then losing the Unbiblical Teachers blog. That was like a stab in the flesh.
Yep.
That hurt.
Yep.
And then we... very quickly moved on from that.
You
have to let go, because that is labors that are good in the Lord. And I'm just sharing this for sisters, so maybe you can learn from this too. I'm telling myself in my mind, you know, the Bible says we're not supposed to love the world or the things of the world. And we can do good and godly things like online ministry, but yet we're using the things of the world, and it may be taken away because it's theirs.
Right.
And so I'm trying to cut my flesh from all this before it gets taken away.
Yeah, realize,
you know
what it is
saying?
Now. Realize what it is now.
Yeah, so all this labor that we're doing online, you know, it's a good and godly thing, and we can be thankful for it and appreciate it, but we also got to be able to let it go as soon as it's out there, because it may disappear. It's their world. They get to do what they want in it, and I have to kill my flesh in a lot of this technical stuff and remind myself that. So
yeah, and also that's a good example to make sure everything you do is unto the Lord first, whether you're witnessing, living for him, putting stuff up online. It's to the Lord first and most. He sees it. It's for him. It's your offering. It's your living sacrifice.
Yes.
Not so it's out there so everybody can see it and you're building up your website.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a nice perk to be out there feeding the sheep if you do it. Edifying. We know saints that blog every day and they edify others, and we love seeing it. But let's make sure that we're all doing it unto the Lord first, unto each other next. And then if it sticks around on the internet for a while, that's just a plus.
Right.
Because it's Satan's kingdom.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I was mentioning to Brother Tupos how I'm telling in my mind, if it all gets wiped out, I still want to go running forward out in the world, sharing the truth with the lost out there.
Yeah, because it's all for the Lord.
Seekers. Yeah, it's all for him, whether anybody sees it or not.
Yeah.
Not that we're doing it so people can go, oh, look at all the work they're doing.
Right.
It's for people to be edified and taught and trained and encouraged.
Yeah, Jesus said, let your good works be seen before men so that your Father's glorified. And the internet is like a marketplace, so that's why we want to be on the internet right now. One day we probably will be run off, thrown off, or won't choose to do it anymore. But for now, we're here, so we got that glitch taken care of. I'm glad you remembered that, Sister Amen.
Hey, yeah.
today we took off from the place we've been at, the town we've been at for quite a while, and we headed north through some beautiful farm country that Sister Amen made a video. We're going to put a travel video up, and we're working our way towards our weekend preach. And
can
on
I
the way,
about that?
Oh yeah, go ahead.
We had a really nice, smooth road for most of
it.
That was a great blessing.
Yeah, when you travel like us and you're in a, you know, our camper van has a 1-ton suspension, so it's not like driving in a fancy car. And when you get smooth roads, you really appreciate them, because when you get bumpy roads, you tell the difference.
My old tent definitely tells the difference.
Yeah, and I think it's some time for some shocks for our gospel wagon. So
we'll
be working on that. Remember our last van? We used to rattle around like crazy, and I spent a little bit of money, put some new shocks on, and it was like night and day.
Definitely. Yeah. I could tell.
So I think we're time for some new shocks. But yeah, we traveled through beautiful farm country, working our way north. Sister Amen stopped at a food store. And what did you find, Sister Amen, that you cooked me up today?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty good about finding their discount stuff. I happen to find a pound of it's normally really, really expensive beef hamburger.
$1.99 a pound.
Yeah, so I got a pound of it.
And I made a video of her cooking us up two little burgers, and there's like two other meals besides it.
Yeah, we don't eat a whole lot
For $1.99, we just like to teach people how to be frugal. So for $1.99, she watched the sale, and she got two cans of tomatoes for 50 cents a piece. So for $3, she got a whole bunch of food.
Oh, I did, because
And the gospel went out.
I can pop open a can of tomatoes. It has garlic and basil in there and just eat it for a meal.
Yeah, the gospel went out. So we just like to share that.
The gospel's always going out, yeah.
That we eat good in van life, but we also eat frugal. And you know what, Sister Amen? You're not the only one that finds good deals.
Yeah.
I can do it too.
Oh, you do? I know you do.
I walked in last night. I took a late night walk, and I walked into this food store, and guess what I found? You, any of you that know about fish are going to laugh at me. I found smoked carp. A carp is like a bottom feeding fish that most people laugh at. They're called a rough fish, but they actually are really good when you smoke them. I had them as a kid. Sister Amen, was it good?
Oh, very good.
Once again, I found it for $3 a pound. I bought a big chunk of it. I think it was only a pound and a quarter. And we ate one meal yesterday. We ate another meal today. And we'll eat at least another meal tomorrow.
Oh, a couple of them at least. A
couple maybe off of one piece of fish.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Really, really healthy. So, and then, so we just want to share that with you. And then we traveled and we hit two thrift stores. I found some, I like canvas belts for my, that I use for my tunic. I actually gave one to my brother who needs one. So I was able to replace it. Made me think of a topic we're going to talk about. But what did you find, Sister Amen? Did you find anything good at the thrift stores? I can't remember.
No, I don't think I did.
Yeah, okay. But I found a couple belts, and the gospel went out. You got to witness there.
Yeah, I was just going to get there. I was going to wait till you're
go
done.
Go for it.
I didn't find anything. Well, actually, I did.
Remember belts, because I'm going to come back to belts.
Oh, well, you can do that right
now.
Nope,
go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. Talk about your witnessing.
I did find something.
Yeah, what'd you find?
I found somebody to hear the gospel.
Yeah, amen.
So, I checked out Brother Tupo's belt for him because he went out to the van.
I got two of them. 99 cents each.
Oh, yeah, two of them. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I checked out the one because you wore the other one out. That's
yep.
why I was
Yeah, I wore
one
out and I told the lady I'm wearing it. I like it so much.
So, I gave her a gospel card and she wasn't like overly interested, but she thanked me. And as I was walking out the door, a woman said, "Thank you for your purchase." And I said, "Oh, and here, sisters, I made a point to ask her a question so maybe the conversation could go on a little ways," and it did.
Yeah.
And I said, "Are you one of the owners here or something?" And she was really friendly. She said, "Well, no, I just work here, but this is a volunteer. This is an organization that donates money and helps out battered women and children, and it helps feed them." And she went and explained it all. And I said, "Well, that's some good things that you folks do here. That's awesome, and you do a really good job here. Let me give you some good news." And I gave her the gospel, told her we travel around to share it. And she said, what did she say? She said, "Oh, I agree with you," because I warned her about man-made religion and denominations out there. She goes, "Oh, I agree with you. I don't even go to those anymore." She goes, "It's all up here." And she pointed to her head. And I said, "Well, can I help you in that?" I said, "It's got to be more than that. It has to be in the scriptures."
Right.
Through the power of the Holy
Spirit. People make up their own way.
Yeah. And she said, "Yeah," and she kind of nodded her head. And I was thinking about this, 2 Timothy 3:7. We run into a lot of people who have left denominational religion.
Yeah, it's called deconstructionism is what they call it today. So it's like you're in the church system. You decide to leave it because you see that it's full of hypocrisy and sin, which is a good thing. People deconstruct their faith. And then instead of going for the truth and going deep in the scriptures and becoming true ecclesia saints, they tend to go in the world and do their own thing.
Right. And I was going to read 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, as well as Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And so a lot of these people, they leave and they just kind of do their own thing, which is not really much of anything. Or these people, they're also in danger of like melding right into the New Age religion.
Yeah.
Where you kind of almost become your own God.
Everybody does their own thing.
Yep. Doing their own thing.
Spirituality rather than spirit and truth.
Yep. Yeah. They think they're serving God, but they're not. And you know, a lot of these people also are starting to fall away, not believing that the Bible is inspired of God.
Well, if you're making your own way, you're not relying on scripture, you pretty much can do your own thing.
That's right. And that's how all these movements are starting to grow out there. And I think COVID had something to do with people leaving, which would be a good thing if people left for the right reasons. But a lot of people leave just because they're disgruntled.
Well, what do we always say? It's about ditches. The truth is in the middle of the road. There's a ditch on each side. So these people run from the churchianity systems They may come across the road of truth and just for a little while, and they run into another ditch of their own man-made ways, spiritualism, new ageism, or nothing. Men telling me they sit in their deer stand and that's their church now, when they're not doing anything according to God's word.
Sitting on their porch as a woman or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I just wanted to do a real quick warning, you know, because we're starting to see a lot more people doing this.
Yes.
And now we're running into more people who they call it like, well, we meet in homes and stuff, like a home fellowship.
Yeah.
And so they all are still filled with a lot of the things from the churches, only they're just doing it themselves however it is they want.
They left for all the wrong reasons.
Right, and be very careful about the home fellowships, because many, just like man-made religion.
Yeah.
Brother Tupos, yeah, he's not
the same thing. Yeah. I mean, if I could tell you where there is a biblical home fellowship in America, I would tell you where they are and go and encourage them and edify them. So many we have met, they got some things right, but they keep so many false ways, feminization, worldliness, false gospels,
right,
pagan holidays.
Yeah, and when we're talking about home fellowship, we're saying, you know, with...
no building.
Several or many people in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Not
10,
just a couple. Yeah, not yeah. just maybe
five,
a husband,
yeah, yeah. Five,
or a
10.
Yeah, more.
An organized body, like we see in the Bible. They,
exactly,
In Rome, they claim, historians said, that the body in Rome... Evidence shows it was about 50 people. So we're talking about something like that, not one or two or three saints or a family.
Because that would be more like it.
Oh, yeah, that would be. And we just don't know of anything like that.
Yeah.
We'd love to be part of something like that, but we just don't see it.
Right. So just beware of that.
Yep.
Just sharing those thoughts on that.
Amen. That was a good
one,
sister.
And you were going to talk about belts.
Yeah, so I got two belts. I buy these little canvas belts with the little D-rings on them. They work great. I wear them on my tunics. I shared one with a brother. And it got me thinking about girding up your loins, because that's what this is. And I have an article on that at the teaching blog, but I want to talk about it quick. So you can gird up your loins physically. You put a belt around something, and it binds you together. And, in fact, a brother that's starting a job has to do that with his clothing so it's not loose and flowing all over to become an issue. He has to gird up his loins, and that's we see that in the Bible, too. But more importantly, we can gird up our spiritual loins. I love this one. Sister Amin, I know you love this verse. Job 38:3. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me.
That's right. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I like that. So we're supposed to gird up our loins. And what does that mean? Girding up your loins. Again, it's like a belt to wrap yourself, but also to prepare for a hard task, hard journey, or something hard to do. And that's just the Christian life. We got a lot of hard stuff to do. So we got to gird up our spiritual loins, men and women. And so that's something that we need to ponder. Are we girding up daily our loins, whether we have to do it physically? Or remember, I was cutting with the chainsaw in the homestead when we owned the homestead, and my tunic got caught in the chainsaw, and it almost cut my leg. I needed to gird up my loins that day so that my tunic didn't get caught in the chainsaw. Well, we need to gird up our spiritual loins so that we don't get caught looking at things in the world, stumbled by things in the world, stumbled by false teaching.
Yeah, and how we do that, sisters, would be walking in the Spirit.
Yep.
When you're waking up, setting our mind on things above and reminding ourselves, because we're talking about this today, you know, reminding ourselves throughout the day to keep walking in the Spirit and not the flesh, because you could get carried away. You know,
oh, yeah.
I got to run in the store here, and I got to hurry up and get my things done, and I got to get home, and I got to get dinner and stuff. You could become in the flesh and zeroed in on that and forget what's in between.
Put on the mind of Christ.
Amen. I love that. Yeah.
So, Sister Amin, what else is going on in your mind, your heart? What do you want? What else do you want to share today?
You know, I was thinking about this the other day when we were standing outside of that church. We still got to get that post up. I think that's going.
We're doing that tonight.
Yeah.
We're finally going to get up
that
evangelical church street preach. We'll get it done tonight.
Yeah, and this has happened before. The subject, and I'm not going to say it yet because I want to read the scripture verse. And I'm just going to say, sisters, 1 Kings 18. I love this. I'd love to read the whole thing. In fact, I did a sister's audio reading it, and I was like rejoicing on it. This is awesome. It like shows the major power of God. But anyway, 1 Kings 18:27. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry out loud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened." And to set the context for that, he's mocking the prophets of Baal, who they thought their God would do something for them, and they didn't. And then we all know, if you keep reading in there, you see how Elijah has them dump buckets of water all over the altar more than one
and
time.
And the fire of God comes down and licks it all up.
Licks it all up. I love that. I can't even imagine what that's like.
So he was mocking evil, unbiblical, wicked enemies of God.
Yeah, and that was my thought. Maybe I was asking Brother, or going to ask Brother Tupos to like kind of expound on mocking and when it's like appropriate, or you know, kind of explain some of that.
Yeah, I think mocking, you'll hear me every once in a while. Like, okay, the preach we're going to put up, I think I may have said it here. I was standing outside this evangelical body peacefully asking the pastor to come out. Their service was over, well over. Everybody's leaving. Asking the pastor to come out with his Bible. And we look up above us, and they have a lounge area, and there's a bunch of men looking out the windows.
Peeking out the window,
drinking like coffee and looking out the windows at us. Some of them laughing, looking out the windows. I said, what, are they going to throw water balloons down on us?
Yeah.
I did mock them because I said, where's the men with the Bibles? And so there are times where I will, like, mock, if you will call it, the people that are claiming to be of God as they trample his blood, live in sin, teach false doctrine, and basically, like the prophet, mock them for not obeying, knowing, keeping, and wanting the things of God. And God gives us an example of that. Now, we have to be careful of this. I get it. It's a fine line. Psalm 37, 12 through 13. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth his day is coming. So,
Right. Yeah,
I get it. That's the Lord laughing. I'm not going to laugh at the destruction of a wicked person, but and neither the Lord's not laughing at their destruction, just knowing what's coming. So that mocking idea, I think there is a fine line between if we mock the wrong way or the right way, and maybe it's really hard to explain what that is, but as long as you're mocking is fully behind the doctrines of Christ, fully behind Christ, fully in spirit and truth, I think you're fine. I think where your mocking goes wrong, my mocking would go wrong, is if I get outside of that and it becomes fleshly and it becomes my anger or my disdain for them. But if it's about doctrine, if it's about the truth, hey, I'm out here for the truth. Why are you men all hiding? Are you cowards? That's what I kept saying.
Uh-huh.
Are you cowards? Yeah, I was mocking them, kind of like Goliath was mocking the Israelites when he said, I'll take any man on, let's go. And he kept walking back and forth saying, let's go, I'll take any man on. And none of them would come out. So mocking can go both ways. It can come from evil, but mocking can also come from God's people standing up for the truth.
Right. And this kind of makes me think of this, you know, I'll be witnessing to a woman and she's totally worldly and carnal, and I can clearly see the evidence that her religious body's not teaching the truth and she's not even doing it herself. And I'll say, so how long have you been a Christian?
Yeah.
And she'll say 20 years or 30 years or all my life or whatever.
Right.
And I'll say, so after all these years, you don't even know the fundamentals, how to dress
right.
your temple.
Yeah,
the Holy
they haven't
Spirit.
Taught you.
It's kind of like
yeah.
a mock.
And here's another one. The same religious body we're going to post today, they have six elders. Three of them are women.
Yep.
Everybody that knows us and knows the Bible will know that is heresy against God. 1 Timothy 2, 1 Corinthians 14, women are not to oversee men, usurp authority, teach men. I was mocking them, saying, hey, men, bring out your Bible. Don't send your women out here, your women elders. I won't talk to them about the things of God. Because that was a form of a mock because they're in such sin.
Right. And there have been times we stood outside a religious event and people come and they defend sin and defend it and defend it. And we try our best to get them to see the truth. And then they don't see it. And they start walking to go in, and we say, okay, this is made for you.
Yes,
go
exactly.
On in then.
Here's the broad road to destruction.
Yep.
Enter this way.
If you
don't preach
want
that.
The truth, go on in. And I know I have too, and that is kind of a mock.
Yep.
Because when you do that, people might be going, oh, why would you tell them to go in there? Well, it's the blind leading the blind in the ditch,
that's
and you
what
never
Jesus
know.
Said.
You could, because I could be like lifting my voice after a woman saying, well, go on in there if that's what you want. Sin and worldliness and carnality. Go on in there. Maybe it will strike her in the heart to go, maybe I shouldn't be going in there.
How many times have we seen men walking and they walk by me and they mock and I say something cutting to them and they stop, look up, and they turn around and come back and they get a whole bunch of more truth because I said some piercing things
too,
to them.
Yeah,
like a man holding up his cross and I go, sir, that metal crucifix can't save you. You can't believe that has anything to do with a saving faith, sir. And they stop. And they turn around in anger, and then I get to pour the gospel into them. So that's a form of a mock too. So maybe that's a good teaching I should do sometime on, basically about what exactly is a mock, a biblical mock, or something that would not be biblical. That might be a hard one to do, but I think I'll attempt that sometime.
I think you'll do a good job.
I had this thought today. This is terrible. I have to share this with you. This is going to wake you up and break your heart and maybe help you look at life different. We're driving and we get through this town and we know we're going to stop at this little thrift store, and I'm slowing down. I'm probably going 20 miles an hour, and there's a pedestrian crossing in the street, and I don't see any pedestrians. Then all of a sudden I see a lady come out, but she's standing, not ready to move. And I thought, okay. And I started slowing down. All of a sudden, a little girl on a bike, maybe 8 years old, comes flying past her mom and was going to come right into the pedestrian street, the cross. And her mom put her hand out at the last minute and stopped her. If she would have kept going, we would have run her over. And I told Sister Amen, I can't imagine the feelings, the sound, the thought, the reality to know that you ran over a small child on a bike.
That would be so hard.
And here's what I want you to ponder, saints. Life can change in a split second, any day. Ready? Sickness can come. Crime can come. Death can come. This would have been an accident. Let me tell you a quick story. When we were first believers and we owned our big farm in Wisconsin, I met a man named George. He claimed to be a believer, but he had a lot of heretical issues going on. But George was messed up in his mind and his whole conscience. You know why? George was a truck driver, and he was driving a truck, and he turned a corner, and a man and his wife and four children in a Blazer pulled out and went around him, and they went right under his truck, and George rolled right over them, and he killed six people, two adults, four children, crushed them under the wheels of his semi. That had happened 8 years before I met him. But he was just messed up. He ended up going to a psychologist. They put him on all kinds of drugs.
Yep.
His life was just
messed him up even worse.
Yeah. It messed him up even worse. And if he would have cried out to the Lord and been biblical, I know the Lord would have healed him and all that. So I just wanted to share that with you. Ponder how your life can change in a second, whether it's an accident, crime, disease, sickness, whatever, death, or death of someone around you, death of a child, death of a spouse. Sister Amen and I could lose each other any day. But the good news is, as you think about that, John 16:33, another one of our favorite verses.
Right.
These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. That in me you might have peace. We don't have peace in a situation.
Mm-mm.
In Christ we have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. That would be quite a trial, having known you. And by the way, this truck driver, he wasn't at fault. The police were there.
Right.
It was not his fault. This man drove dangerously, went right under a semi-truck, so it wasn't his fault. Wouldn't have been my fault today, I don't think, because she would have flown right out in the street when I thought I had right away. There was nobody there. But anyway, Jesus says, in this world you shall have much tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
I love that.
So we can, no matter what happens, death, crime, sickness, whatever, we can overcome because Christ has overcome for us. Any thoughts on that, Sister Amen?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. If something like that happened, it would be hard to forgive yourself, but you would have to.
You have to
let it go and move on.
You have to. If you don't forgive yourself, you're an idolater.
Right, and you can't let it affect your life to the point to where you're of no avail to the Lord anymore.
Yeah, that's another whole topic. We meet people all the time that tell us they can't forgive themselves, and I go, wait a minute. God sent Christ, said, whosoever will come can be forgiven. God can forgive you. You can't forgive yourself. You're saying you're better than God.
Yeah. Well, we got a great example of that. What just happened, what could have happened, would have been an accident.
Yes.
We know from the Bible who was a murderer.
Yeah. Paul.
And he let it all go behind him and went forward. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there was more than that if we sit there and look at
it. Yeah.
So, yeah, they had to keep going and press forward, and they wouldn't be able to just sit there and dwell in it.
Amen.
I'm sharing that because sisters have a tendency to be more emotional and allow things to overcome them. You got to be strong like a soldier and get going.
So ponder all these things and ponder what tomorrow could bring and be ready. You know, think about, what if I lost my husband or wife? What if I lost my health and I found out I had cancer? What if I was in a terrible car accident and paralyzed? Prepare yourself for what could be the worst here on earth so you're ready to face it in Christ. Don't think your life's always going to stay the way it is.
Right. And that means get up and get going the best you can, however it is, and don't waste your time on it.
Amen, amen. So, yeah, so that was one thing I want to bring up. And then I wanted to bring up another thought today. I was talking to a brother about frugal ways. And when we think of frugal, what's the first thing you think of, Sister Ami?
Most people think of money.
Yeah, and that's true, frugal and money. But I was thinking about frugality is good for your gifting, your opportunities, your talents, your time, your relationships, your marriage, whatever you have. And here's what I want to encourage you with. If you don't think it's important to use what God's given you as a steward, you're a steward of it, I want you to go read Matthew 25. Go read the parable of the talent. A lot of people don't take this serious enough. Go read the whole parable, and then I want to read you Matthew 25, 28 through 30. Ready? Take ye therefore the talent from him. This is the guy that did nothing. He did nothing with what God gave him. Take ye the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and that he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Sister Amen, are those the words of Jesus Christ, our Master, my Messiah, Savior?
Right.
These are not the words of Paul or John. Wouldn't matter. It'd be God's word. He says, cast him out into outer darkness. So we need to all fear this, that we are taking our talent, our time, our efforts, our relationships, our abilities. It's no small matter from Christ. It was no small matter from Paul or anybody else to make sure that we're being profitable servants. And we made a video today. What did we see? Talk about the video that we're going to also have at the top of our...
Oh, yeah, about being self-serving or serving others.
Yeah, what did we see today?
Oh, it was a cute little corn stand, a little produce stand.
It was a self-serve corn stand.
Yeah.
So we made a quick video we'll put at the top. Talks about self-serving versus being servants. So... think about serving, and I think Sister Amen wants to share something on that.
Well, I wanted to go back to, what did you say? We were talking about being frugal and being wise with everything that we have.
With everything, time, money, relationships, scripture, everything.
Luke 12:48, it says, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him much shall be required.
Woo! Yeah.
To whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. That was the last part of the verse there. Yeah, so much is going to be required to whom much has been given. You know, and sisters, if you've been given a lot of knowledge, a lot of grace, a lot of truth, a lot of opportunities.
Fellowship.
Yeah.
Teaching, training.
Yeah, whatever it is that you've been given, you know, and the gifts that he's given you, if you haven't used them and given them all back to him, he may take them away.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? I find one or two things happen with saints. One or two things happen. Either true saints look in the world and go, where is everybody that are true saints? And they get discouraged and it seems like they do less. And then there's other people, very few, that do this. Ready? Where is everybody? I better get working hard because there's hardly anybody out there.
Right.
And I want to be that second one. I want to be the one that says, where is everybody? We better get working hard.
Yeah, because it's like, does it really matter where they are? Once you realize, you know, that few means few, and it means even fewer than what you thought few meant.
Because one is self-serving. I want more people around me. I want to feel good about, I want this, versus I better get going. The Lord's called me. He's given me truth. He's given me the Spirit. I better get going.
He put me where he did to do the works he wants me to do right where I'm at.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, ponder all of that.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's a good topic for us to think about. Frugality in all things, how you spend your money, time, relationships, talents, everything. Sister Amen, anything else on your heart and mind today? I have one big section of scripture I want to read at the end, but what else do you have? Anything?
Well, I guess I want to go back to that topic we just talked about.
Okay, hold on. We're going to back up. Let me put reverse on.
Kind of, yeah. I was just thinking, you know, here's a thought for somebody. You know, when we get all these times, I've shared with sisters how we have all these conveniences to give us more time. Washing machines and microwaves and all these things, which is a good thing. But yet we also have internet and time wasters. A lot of saints have given up all the worldly carnal things and they still use the internet for good things.
Yep.
That's good. But then I just have a question. If somebody picked up your phone and looked at the history, would they see that you were being diligent on that time too?
Right.
Even if it's good and godly, we have to be careful about that too. So
amen.
That's just a thought that just came up.
Yeah, frugality on our time, because time is short. It's something we can never get back, and everybody has 24 hours.
Yeah,
Elon Musk,
do.
The richest man in the world, has 24 hours. The poor guy in the gutter has 24 hours. Everybody else in between.
God kind of leveled the playing field that way, didn't he? All those rich people got money, but they all got the same time.
He did. They all got the same amount of time, so it doesn't matter. So, I want to leave you on our edification audio with, do you have any other scriptures or anything, Sister Amen?
I do have one.
Go ahead. You share your scripture.
How do you say it? Philemon or Philemon?
I think it's Philemon. I think I say Philemon sometimes. I think it's Philemon.
I always pronounce everything opposite, it seems. But anyway, chapter 1, verse 25. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
I love that. Simple, right to the point. Cut straight, 2 Timothy 2:15.
It says a lot right in that little bit.
It does. Awesome. Thank you for that. Uh-huh. Yeah, I want to share this scripture as we leave you on this audio. This scripture verse kind of goes like what we were just talking about. Being serious about sinful things, being serious about our relationships, so it's like kind of frugality. And this verse talks about true saints being guarded around rebellious saints and encouraging everyone to be workers. So it kind of ties together. Let me read this to you. 2 Thess 3:6-14. This is Brother Paul. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is serious, in the name of Jesus, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walked disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Withdraw yourself. Not sit and eat and drink and pray with them. You know, have meals and stuff with them. But for yourselves know ye how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. So Paul's saying, I'm an example. Our men are examples. Follow them. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable of any of you. So Paul said, we worked, we labored, we didn't want to be a burden to everyone. Not because we have not the power to make ourselves an example, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. So we're to be an example. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you. This is a commandment, Sister Amin. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? It's a commandment.
Mm-hmm.
That if any would not work, neither should he eat. That's talking about laziness. Paul is saying if a man could be a sister in the right situation,
mm-hmm.
if a sister is single and could go out and work and doesn't or whatever, he's saying don't even associate with them for laziness. We see all these people overlooking people living in fornication, overlooking drunkenness, overlooking idolatry. Paul is saying if you know a lazy brother, here's what he says. He says, we command you that if any not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we commanded and exhorted by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and they eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in doing well. What's doing well? If any man obey not the word by this epistle, note that man, have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. I wanted to read that to you because I am really, really constantly being attacked for my stances on separation. Mm-hmm. Telling people you shouldn't be with sinful believers. You should separate. You should separate yourself out. And I'm called divisive. I'm called a separatist. I'm called a lone ranger.
Yep.
Go tell it to Brother Paul. Brother Paul just told us if a man's lazy, that's laziness. In the sins of the American church system, laziness is like down at the bottom compared to the worldliness, carnality, feminization.
Right.
But Paul is saying, if a man's lazy, so Paul had the standard where Christ had it way up high.
Yep.
And today the churchianity system has it way down low. So ponder that, your relationships. Are you overlooking a lot of sin in your life? Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Right. And are you overlooking sin in the people you want to have fellowship with? Or are you standing strong and calling them out and saying, no, I love you. You're in sin. I can't associate with you till you leave that. What would you want to do, Sister Amin, if a sister knew you had sin in your life, what would you want a sister to do to you?
Well, I'd want her to correct me, rebuke me, teach me if I'm willing, and if I don't, and if I continue in it, I want her to obey God's word.
Should she, like, bring you, like, coffee and cookies and candy for a week or two, and then take you out to lunch, and then sit and talk to you really nice, and then
that
eventually
like
somehow sort... Huh?
That sounds like church people.
Did we see people leaving the church yesterday with coffee and donuts? People coming out of the building with fancy coffee and donuts, men, no Bibles, nobody wanted to talk truth, but they're carrying their coffee and donuts.
Yeah, you know what? They kind of looked feminized.
Oh, yeah, very feminized, yeah. That, so yeah. Think about that, saints. Your relationships, your own life, make sure it's not ongoing, willful sin. Everybody can fall into sin. We don't live in sin as true saints of God. Big difference.
No, right, exactly,
big difference.
Yeah.
So sin in the body is a serious thing. It was to Jesus. It was to Paul. It should be to all of us.
Yeah.
That's all I have, Sister Amin. Right. You got anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Are you ready to keep heading north to our preach?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're looking forward to this. It's another Christian so-called event, and Lord willing, if we get there, it's going to be a good preach, and we'll have lots of good tales to tell, lots of good edification will come out of it, hopefully.
Right, yeah, I think we had some good witnessing there last time. I specifically remember a woman that sought me out.
Yep.
And so I had a really good conversation with her. I hope some words
went deep in her. We're just planting seeds everywhere.
Yeah, we just go and do. If the Lord gives us those days, we will. And if something else happens, we'll just be
Amen.
Thankful and content and just do the works that's right in front Amen. Of us at the time.
So check out those videos we posted up at the top, the travel video, the corn stand video, my burger video. And then I'm going to have a teaching done.
Video.
Yeah.
I know, I'm teasing.
I'm going to post teaching on Matthew 5 and Jesus talking about the meek, and I'm going to show you where he got it from and why it's important and what meek is. I've taught on meekness before.
Yeah.
That's another thing that comes up. This past weekend, I had a man. I'm standing peacefully on a sidewalk. This is why I'm doing this teaching. It came to me again. I'm peacefully on a sidewalk talking about the oracles of God. I had a man come up, get right in my face, use the F word on me, screaming at me, telling me I'm not meek.
Right. It's like we've talked about that one woman telling me that we should be doing this in love, but then her husband steps up and gets in my face. It's like you always say, you go to a peace rally and they beat you with the peace sign.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to talk about what meek and humbleness is and where Jesus got that from.
Right,
so check out that teaching as well. And we love you all. Till next time, the Lord lets us come again.
Amen.
We are down the gospel road, headed further north, headed further north.
Oh, yeah.
And we will report tomorrow, if the Lord wills, from that gospel road.
Right. Amen. Let's see what happens in the rest of our night first and see if we get tomorrow.
Amen. We love you all.
Yet.
God be praised.
Amen.